And hello and welcome back to another edition, a new year 2024 of the Talking Para podcast. A little bit of a special event today. It's January, so we thought we'd have a bit of a chat about the season coming up and new players, jersey designs and everything. So anyway, we thought we'd do a special event and welcome everybody to the live event. Joining us tonight, we have Hayden from the Entertain House. We have Joel from League of Inches. And we have myself, Troy, from the Para Cave podcast. And we also have our illustrious host, looking mighty fine in their new 2024 jersey, which we'll talk about a little bit later, Mr. Adam Martin. How are you going, Adam? Did you have a good New Year's, good Christmas?
Yeah, wonderful. Look, I'm just excited to get talking. I'm excited to get talking para for the year 2024 because you know why?
Why is
we
that?
We can put 2023 behind us. We can put 2023 behind us. We're pretty angry at the end of the year. I think Joel may still be a little bit angry. I'm not quite sure. There's definitely probably still some build-up anger. Joel, obviously, as I called it, towards the end of the year, had a child as well. So he's probably a little bit sleep-deprived still. And I think we're going to see the best of Joel this year, that's for sure. We'll go around the grounds first before we get started on this. Joel, I've just given a recap on your life. Anything else to add over the off-season?
Nah, you summed it up, mate. I've been hitting the boxing bag every day with a picture of Parramatta basically on it. So you're right about that. It's still a little bit of a tender sort of point for myself. And bit of, I'm just, yeah, I am keen to get back into it, keen for 2024. And as you already know, and a few of the others out there, we've already started a few of the podcasts as well. So it's only very early, but everyone wants to talk footy, and I'm really keen to get into it.
And congratulations, Joel, as well, mate.
Around the
for what?
For having your baby, your child.
I was on episodes after that last year.
Was it?
That's all right.
I don't know, but anyway, a recap for the viewers.
I don't think you're really with us. Is what we're saying. Look, as you said, it's obviously early, but we're only 5 weekends away from trials, so footy season's approaching fast. We'll go through Hayden. Hayden's deep in training mode. What could be his last ever game of rugby league?
What are you trading for, Hayden?
Yeah, I'm once again participating in the Sports Shed TV charity match. I'm representing the Ronald McDonald House against Mark Hughes once again. So it's a great cause put together by Sports Shed TV. Yeah, it's been a big off season of preparation and really looking forward to getting back out there. I think I went really, I guess, soft last year because I had the trip to America just 3 days away. So I didn't really put my
jet
body
lag
on the line. But yeah, no, well, I was getting ready for America. So I didn't want to head to America with, you know, a broken leg or something like that. So yeah, I'm ready to get into it. And yeah, as you said, it's been a big off season, especially for the page. We were voted as the second most watched NRL podcast via the Rugby League History page. From about 700 votes, we ended up getting second place. So yeah,
close.
Pretty good achievement for the Talking Paras here.
I don't know.
Thanks
how,
to all of Hayden's family for voting for us.
Yeah, half the Central Coast voted. look, obviously, Hayden mentioned that Sports Shed match. I'm still trying to get myself a start. I'm pretty small, can't tackle, but I'm really looking forward to if I can play lining up against Hayden or make for some great content. So,
well, mate, if you did, I was just going to say, if you did manage to get your tickets and you were in the first 200 people, then you just might be the ball boy or water boy. If you are in the first 200 people, they're going to be announcing in the coming days that you will be the ball boy or water boy.
But he wants to play.
Well, you, Adam.
He doesn't want to be the water boy. He wants to play.
No, I want to fold you. Like, I'm calling you out now. I want to fold you. So, like your mate, I'm going to fold you. Your mate from last year, whose name I've forgotten, has been a big off season. He's our biggest fan. What's his name? I can't remember.
Wasn't it Andrew Backhouse?
Andrew. Sorry, Andrew. How dare I? Me and Andrew have got a date. First time there's kids on the field at Combank Stadium, I'm going to fold him in half, and that's a guarantee.
Lots of comments coming through on the live stream.
Troy, we'll get to you.
Why can't I see the comments anyway?
Look, no, not really much, to be honest. Wrapped up the podcast a few months ago before Christmas, obviously with work and stuff. So just taking a bit of a break and get back into it a little bit soon in February. And yeah, just posting some great highlights from Fox League of, you know, 1980s games, 1990s games, and
2005.
No, I did I do 2005? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Tim Smith actually.
Yeah.
And Yeah, one of the things I found, though, is in the 80s, after a try celebration, it was just a simple handshake. Well done, handshake. None of this jumping on top of each other, carrying on like yahoos. And, yeah, that's what I found in these 80s games. But, yeah, that's about it.
Right, let's move on. Look, obviously, no major off-season news to report on. I know I've got some injuries. I'll get someone to run through that soon. We've been all over that in our group chat. I guess the biggest sigh of relief is the fact that we missed out on signing Luai. I know we're never in the ball to sign Luai, but I'm just really glad we missed out on that signing. That makes me happy as a Parramatta fan. It's probably the smartest thing the club's done in quite a while. Anyone want to run through the injuries? Obviously, some Joel, you've been pretty much all over these. We've had a couple of big injuries, a couple of young upcoming players that have obviously injured themselves out for the season.
Yeah, one today.
Yeah. I probably sent you a small heart attack when I said Pennacini, he's done his ACL, but unfortunately, it was Richard. So he's out for the year. And that's one of our big juniors who we've all spoken about, obviously, last year. Really wanted to see him get a run this year. And even probably get into first grade at some point just to have a taste of it and see what he could do. So a bit of a shame there. And I think Arthur Miller-Stevens is the same. Yeah. He's out for the year. So two of our young kids, unfortunately, already gone. So it's not great to see. But I think the rest are just sort of small niggles from some of the first grade boys who all will be back apparently in the next week or two. So nothing too much to worry about. But it is a shame not to see those young guys. And I think that really impacts our New South Wales Cup side, obviously, this year with those players missing.
Yeah, for sure. I'll let's start it. Obviously, guys, keep your questions coming there. We'll get to them at the end. We'll have a bit of a chat at the end about it. Just trying to keep this one a bit brief. It's more of a season preview and off-season stuff as well. Obviously, the positive thing is our team kept drama-free and out of the news in the off-season so far. So we touch wood that that's been the case. A few little hiccups here and there and a few reported things, but nothing that's made back pages of the Daily Telegraph. So that's a win for our club. We're usually one of the first clubs up. But let's run through this draw first of all.
Just quickly, it's not just our club. I think it's all clubs. I think I mentioned to someone the other day, this is like the quietest NRL off-season I think I've seen with off-field dramas. I don't think there's been anything, to be honest, anything major.
Yeah, we're due for something. It's, as I said, it's 5 weeks until the trial start. We're due.
You know it's a slow day when they're reporting Tevita Pangai Jr. just sitting on the sidelines watching some boys train professional boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a quiet day for Foxley. It's been a quiet month so far.
Yeah. All right. I'll get us kick-started. I'll run through the trials in the first six games. Obviously, it's a key. As we established last year, we had a pretty terrible start to the year. It's obviously key for us to make a good start this year, especially with some home games. And so an interesting stat last year, we only won like 66 or 67% or something of the games at home last year. Like, obviously, Combank Stadium those first couple of years was a real fortress for us. We need to turn that around, and really, I can't see when we go to a draw, we can't be winning all our home games. But we start the season off with a pre-season try. I said it 5 weeks away, 17th of Feb, at what's now Nestra Jubilee Stadium there at Kolgra, which is just, to me, once again, I could go on about this forever, but it makes no sense playing Parramatta versus Canberra. I know it's a doubleheader in Kolgra. Now, this is a game that could be in the country. It could be in front of, anywhere, really, anywhere in the country. It doesn't matter where, Mudgee, Dubbo, Tamworth, take it wherever, Coffs Harbour. I know Coffs Harbour's not the country, but you know what I mean? And you get 6 or 7, maybe 8,000 people at this game. Instead, it's going to be played as a doubleheader at a stadium that sees football every week. This doesn't make sense. Anyway, that's a bone to pick with the NRL, not with the club. But 17th of Feb, Parramatta versus Canberra will be the first time we get to see the team boys play. I know that probably be a pretty much New South Wales Cup standard team as it usually is, but they're obviously the first game of the year. Then the week after, at North Ipswich, where football should be played, against the Gold Coast Titans on the 25th of Feb. Round one, obviously, going to be
there.
You'll be there? Oh, there you go.
You could be our around-the-grounds correspondent.
I'm assuming all these games are going to be broadcast on Fox Sports again like they have been every other year. So
yeah, absolutely, they will.
Pre-season cup thing. So obviously round one, Parramatta versus Canterbury at Combank Stadium, Saturday the 9th of March, 5:30. Look, you think this would be a sellout weeks in advance. I'm not sure if they've released tickets yet. Don't know, I'm a member. But you think this game would be sold out. You think the Bulldogs would be there optimistic and in high hopes that they're going to have a better season as well. And obviously with their big signing there of Stephen Crichton. Week after, we moved to an away game. It's pretty much becoming a home game out there at Penrith because we've got Penrith where we want them. We seem to always beat them. Hopefully, we do it again. But Penrith, obviously, Bluebet Stadium, Friday the 15th of March, 8:05. week after, round three, back at home against Manly at home on a Sunday. Arvo, once again, she'll be pretty close to a full house again. 4:05 kickoff the week after, which will be a full house as the traditional Easter Monday game in Parramatta this year. Monday the 1st of April, 4 p.m. Round five, trip to Canberra. Obviously against the Raiders because there's no other team players in Canberra. And round six, we got the Cowboys at home on Saturday the 13th of April.
Thanks, Scoop.
Yeah, look, a bit rusty, but we'll get through it. Look, just running through those first six games, when I've had my say, they'll move to Joel. Realistically, we should be – well, obviously, you aim to win every game, but realistically, I can see us winning 5 or 6 games. Obviously, Canberra's never an easy place to go. We know that. I can't see Canberra making the 8 next year, this year. So, that's the first screw-up this year. I think they're going to obviously be in one of those rebuilding years. They've lost a lot of experience in their team. So, obviously, our hardest game there is Penrith at Penrith, where we have a good record. So, back, we're probably going to have 3 full houses at home in those first 4 games. Close to 30,000 Parramatta fans at every game. We know the Bulldogs army will turn up in full strength as well, but realistically, I can't see why we can't win any, all 5 or all 6 of those games at least 5. Joel, your thoughts before you run through the 6, next 6?
Yeah, I'm not as confident as yourself with getting 5 or 6 from that. So I'm actually just really keen to see how we start off the season and when we get into a bit more of some of our crucial games and the like. I just think it's really important to see how we come out to make sure the boys are switched on. I thought we could see early on now that we can look back on it that the boys just weren't really switched on last year for some reasons, unknown really, I guess, for all of us. But, yeah, it is what it is. Hopefully we have a great start and get those at least 4 or 5 wins up.
Yeah, we're going to go through the next 6 games first. First, I'll address Luke Gibbons nice and early on in the season. Luke, it's nice to see you. I haven't heard from you once again, except coming on the podcast, unless you want tickets to the grand final. So nice to see you jump around in 2024. You don't know, we might have another good year. We might see you at some more games. Joel, round 7 to 12.
Oh, geez.
All right, round 7. I think on my app as well, I've got Queensland time here, so don't mind me. Just add an extra hour. It's the home game that we've all spoken about in the past. It really isn't a home game, but Darwin, Eels versus the Dolphins. We've taken another Northern Queensland team up to the hot state, so that's fantastic.
Southern Queensland team.
Oh, well, it's still Queensland. It's still hot up here. Like, to come up here today, it's boiling hot. Manly versus Eels, so at Four Pines Park, round 8, Friday night. Round 10, Friday.
What time was that one kicking off, sorry, Joel? That Friday night game.
8 p.m.
Yep, nailed it.
Is that 7 o'clock Thank for you?
No, it's actually gone to 8 here. So it must be when daylight savings starts or stops.
Yeah,
perfect. There you go. Round 10, Friday again. So we've got a bit of a good running going
on. What happens in round 9?
Oh, we got a bye. Okay. I'm actually just looking at the NRL one. It just skips that. Eels versus the Broncos, Combank Stadium. Round 11, Sunday, 4 o'clock at Magic Round, actually. So Storm versus the Eels.
What could possibly go wrong for the Parramatta Eels taking Melbourne to Magic Round?
Absolutely nothing.
Anything could possibly go wrong.
Who knows? Round 12. Yeah, but we've also got a third day. We've also got the third day again. Like, we're stitched up. Oh, Round 12, Saturday game, Rabbitohs versus the Eels, 7:30. Obviously, that was quite a decent game for us last year around this sort of same time as well. So, hope that's for some reason got location as TBA still. It's South home game.
I think they're trying to get Allianz again, but they're struggling to get it. So, it could be at Acor from what I hear.
I hope it's at Allianz because that game at Allianz last year, Parramatta were going terrible, Mally Ad. And a Thursday night it was, and there was 25,000 people there. And it was a great atmosphere. If you get a Parramatta and a South Sydney team by firing at Allianz Stadium in the middle of Sydney on a Saturday night, you're going to get 35,000-36,000 people there. So let's hope that happens because even if they take the game to a core, that could be 30 there, but we all know what a core feels like with 30. Hayden, I'll get you to comment on those last 6 games before you obviously go through your 6.
Yeah, there's a few tough games there. Obviously, we've had a decent record against the Storm in recent years. I know it's not at Amy Park, but at Suncorp, we saw what they were able to do to us 5 years ago now, is that
2019.
Right? Yeah. So 5 years ago now, feels like not that long ago. But and then you got the Broncos who were in the grand final. Good to see that bye, not towards the, you know, mid part of the season, but a little bit early on. I think with the Eels, the thing is, I think with the first 6 weeks, even though I'm very optimistic about the season, I've got us probably going around that 4-2, and I just don't want to see, you know, cockiness and slack off coming into the bye and, you know, another incident or something leading to the season. So just a little bit worrying there that they might get off to a bit of a fast start and then become complacent. But I personally, if it works for them, like that bye in round number 9. Then in round number 13, Adam, we've got the Parramatta Eels taking on the Cronulla Sharks. That game is on Thursday, the 30th of May. We've also got an encounter with the Bulldogs once again on the King's birthday. I think that's the first time I've actually said the King's birthday.
He's changed that. He's done well. You've done well on the fly there. I'm actually proud of you for that.
The Bulldogs taking on the Eels. That's round number 14. So looking forward to a rematch with them, even though we're all looking forward to round 1 as well. Always seem to either, you know, blow them out that game or lose by a weird margin. So hopefully a win. Then we've got the Roosters. Tough team to kind of get a read on, but I know that Joel's very scared of Parramatta playing the Roosters. They're always a tough opponent for us. He always
playing Parramatta.
I know that's a bit of a danger game. And then the last one, round number 16, we have also got the bye for that one. So two byes within about a 6 week period there.
Yeah, obviously that's obviously around that Origin period as well. I know that's the week before Origin because the week after players will be able to back up, I believe. So, Troy, you have your comments on that six, then you can run through your six games.
Oh, we're doing it like that, are we? I just went through everything.
Yeah, we are. Have you not worked that out?
I just went through everything. So, I don't actually know what the last six games are. I know we finish off with the Dragons and the Tigers. and there's the Warriors straight in there. But
you've gone from the Cronulla game against Cronulla through till Hayden.
You're up to the Knights, mate.
Yeah, Hayden stopped early. Yeah.
Hayden, you only need four games, mate. You've got two to go.
I'll tell you what. How about I start at the top and then I'll just quickly talk about those ones and then I'll get down. Yeah, and then you guys can tell me about the game. I reckon we're going to be third position.
So switched on with the King's birthday if we got down to count to six.
On Saturday, the 29th of June, Adam's most anticipated game of the year, where we take on the Newcastle Knights at McDonald Jones Stadium. And then the last game that I have to read, means that I have passed year 2 and I can count to 6. We take on the Rabbitohs this time at home on the 4th of July, American Independence Day.
Oh, you're all right.
Lovely.
Geez. We'll get number 1 this year. We'll get number 1 podcast.
Jeez. I don't know where to start on those. Anyway, the last 6 games, I don't know what they are in order, but anyway. 16, is that where I'm up to?
19.
Okay.
Troy, what have you been on over the Christmas
period? Well, look, I didn't know this is the way it was going to run. So what I've done is I've said I'm going to...
No, stop. You're
is that too much flavoured milk?
Absolutely. From the third round, you're going to give the opinion on those games that Hayden just hit off. So from round 13 through to round 18, can you just give us your opinions on those games very quickly?
Well, I've got to go to the draw because I've already got my established notes over there. But
had a shorter draw in the 1980s, and because he's been watching all those games, he still thinks it's a 12-game season.
He is the senior member of this podcast, so just got to give him a bit of time with the technology.
I am 77 years old, all right, so leave me alone.
78 now. Didn't you have a birthday?
Not yet, May.
Not yet, okay.
Okay, so what are we up to? 19. So,
no.
those games. That's game. Sorry.
Yeah, well, round 19. We're up to opinion on games rounds 13 to round 18.
Okay. Well, it's very important that we get all our home game wins. So we should get the Sharks, the Bulldogs. That'll be a tussle, but we got them last year at a core stadium on the public holiday.
Let's not forget that game. That game there is pretty much a split crowd. Like Parramatta fans turn up in massive numbers that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Parramatta Roosters, again, at home. Look, that'll be tough, but as I said, you want to win your home games. By Newcastle, that one, look, I hate to say it, but I think Newcastle will get the victory in that one.
Just to be Troy's last podcast with us, so obviously appreciate the time we've got left with him, if he ever gets through this, but yep.
look, anything can change from then until now. South Sydney, they've shown that they've been a bit of a bogey side for Parramatta over the last few years. We did get them last year. This time we play them at home. I think the first time since 2020, I think, that semi-final. I think. Was it? I think, anyway.
Your segment.
Hey, I think it is because I can't remember them playing there. Anyway, we had the COVID period in between there, so I think that could be correct. That was,
I don't know if you're listening, but Hayden's already actually run through the games of those. You don't have to
He wanted the thoughts on those games.
Yeah, it's like you just.
All right, let's move on.
Group it together.
Can you please run us through rounds 19 to round 24?
Ah, rightio. Very well organised podcast, this one. Gold Coast versus Parramatta up at Gold Coast, round 19. Round 20 by round 21 versus Storm at Combank, Friday night. Friday night against the Warriors over in New Zealand. And then Friday. Another
happens at the Times.
It's all right. Don't confuse him too much.
5:30 against the Gold Coast.
Friday night games in a row there.
5:30 p.m. against the Gold Coast, round 19. Then a bye. Friday, 8 o'clock against the Storm. Friday, 6 o'clock against New Zealand over there in New Zealand, which is the first time in a few years as well. Friday night again, 8 o'clock against the Panthers in round 23.
All right. That'll do, yeah.
That'll do. Look, I can keep going if you want.
No, it's all right. We'll finish it off. Look, obviously, three games to go. Once again, the Friday night run continues. Friday night, 16th of August, 8 p.m. at Allianz Stadium against the Roosters. Friday, 23rd of August, 8 p.m. against the Broncos at Suncorp. And then last two games, round 26, the Parramatta there, Saturday, 31st of August against St. George, which will be a bumper for a going well, which will be a bumper crowd again. And the last game of the year, which to me makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, is having Parramatta versus the Tigers on a Friday night at 6 p.m. at Campbelltown. Now, I've seen some fucking dumb things done with this NRL draw over the years, but that could be the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Somebody has to play at that time, though.
Well, yeah, I know, but why would you have the Tigers and Parramatta? Now, let's say the Tigers have a good year. Okay, which is unlikely. Let's say the Tigers have a good year. They're building, but they're not ready yet. And they turn around and Parramatta, let's say Parramatta are sitting fourth and the Tigers are sitting sixth. You got a game at Campbelltown at 6 o'clock on a Friday. I know, it was optimistic. But how the hell are you going to get the 10,000 Parramatta fans that want to go there to that game that holds 18,000 seats and the Tigers members? How are people going to get there in time? It's just the dumbest thing ever. Like, this game here should have been TBA, for sure. I know the Tigers have got certain things they've got to play at Campbelltown and Leichhardt and all that kind of shit. I know Leichhardt's obviously meant to be out of action as well. But you TBA this game, you make the announcement where the game's going to be loading. You don't need to sell tickets to it. And you either have it at, you know, if both teams are going shit, could be likely. It's a nothing game you played at Campbelltown. And teams are going well, or reasonably one team's going well, you play it at Combank. If they're both going bumper well, I like what the AFL does and they don't actually announce. And well, I think it's not this AFL do it. There's a lot of teams, like they do it in the NBA as well. They do it in, I believe the NFL do the last round late as well. They don't put the times out for the last round. It's the very last round of the year. Leave it. I know the English Premier League plays, I know we can't do it here, but the English Premier League plays all their games at the same time in the last round. Like, there needs to be something done so you can have your blockbuster games at blockbuster times in the last rounds at the biggest stadiums because, you know, that's what it should be about the fans.
You can't play them all at the same time because of broadcast.
No, never. You never could. You never could at all. But still.
I believe.
You can't play it at Combank either because that means that Parramatta get two home games against the Tigers.
Isn't it their jungle? Or are they giving up on that?
I think they've given up on that because they're only going to be playing out of Campbelltown and Leichhardt in the future, I think.
Have the Tigers got games at Combank this year?
I don't think
the
so.
The Tigers, no, they're trying to simplify it in a way and have actual games at their actual home grounds. Their fans complained about it last year, I believe, and this is the start of them wanting to go back to their roots, so to speak, and bring the fans back after, I guess, a very, very dull number of years now for the Tigers. So, yeah, to be honest, like, I hate it for our point of view. Like, obviously, you can't get as many fans there, but I can understand from a Tigers point of view, wanting to burst us at their home ground. So,
but look at it the positive way. You play Friday, 6 o'clock, the first game of the round. You get that game done and dusted out of the way, and then the other teams have got to play their games on the weekend. So you get a couple of days ahead of the other teams.
The last few years are anything to go by. The last few years are anything to go by, and we are on a finals run and are going to appear in the finals. It'll likely be a very rested team. So that week, anyway. But still, I know it's something like optimistically. What if
you have to think of the positives?
What if Parramatta are a chance of getting the minor premiership that weekend? Or what if Parramatta are playing for a game that's a must win to get in the eight and stuff? Like, it's just, it's a bit silly. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the kickoff time. I'm okay with the stadium, but you've got to obviously give fans access to get there. So, in my opinion, the only 6 p.m. Friday games should be, if they're taking games to country venues, obviously New Zealand because it becomes 8 p.m, Newcastle, because Newcastle, it's a lot easier to get to the ground. Penrith, most likely. Places, obviously, that aren't as popular, and you have to get through city traffic to get there. Because no one, to get from Parramatta to Campbelltown, like, you guys obviously live in the area. Troy, you can probably comment on the best. How long will it take you to get from Parramatta to Campbelltown? I know it takes me 3.5 hours to get
Parramatta to Campbelltown. I don't know, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, I reckon, maybe.
And then obviously adding Friday afternoon traffic to that, it can take you 45 minutes to get out of Parramatta. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, realistically, you're going to be wanting to leave work at 4 o'clock or something, or leave Parramatta at 4 o'clock to get there. So, I don't know, just some dumb things. Something that grinds my gears.
Peter Volandis, listening, mate, Adam's got a problem with the draw. Fix it.
He didn't listen to us last year. Why is he going to listen this year, honestly?
Hey, it's a new year.
There's a couple of big points in the draw as well, once you actually look at the whole thing. And shout out to League of Inches, Paige. We've got you guys covered here. Draw by the numbers. First, we have actually 7 games against the top 4 teams of last year, so which is the most of any team. So we've got quite a tough run still. And we've got actually 6 teams off a bye once again. I know that was a talking point last year. We've got quite a number of games where... obviously, that does take into account a couple of those Origin weekends where there's a bulk amount of teams, which makes it a bit harder. But 6 all up, when there's actually teams like Manly actually have 0, it's pretty unfair, I believe. But again, that's what we've been dealt with.
It is what it is.
Obviously,
Peter Volandis, fix it.
Obviously, last year our whinging did not help. Look, I'm going to run through. We've got 3 questions here for you, and you can answer them all at once. I'll go to Hayden first. Actually, I'll go to Troy first. We'll give him a chance to redeem himself after his...
Well, that was. Okay, yep, let's Mini go.
Stroke. Let me ask...
You taking the meds, Troy?
Let's go.
Right. Game you're most looking forward to, Troy?
Round 2, Parramatta and Penrith at Penrith. Favourite game of the year, being the local game. Obviously, Magic Round as well. That's obviously a good one as well.
Yep.
Getting right up there.
Just keep away from the mushrooms this year, Troy. And most crucial game...
Most crucial game. Well, look, I've had a bit of a look at it, and I think the game against the Warriors is the most crucial game. We haven't played over there in a few years. Obviously, they made the prelim final last year, and also I think that leads into a run into against a few harder teams like the Roosters and the Broncos and Penrith as well. So I think that will be a good gauge as to where we're heading towards the end of the year.
Yep. And I've locked my phone. I can't remember my own questions, but best away game. What away game are you most looking forward to? I know you've already covered off Penrith. I'm thinking something that's not 5 minutes away from your house.
Okay. Well, it'll be Brisbane game in August, I think.
That's right, because you're a celebrity up there, aren't you?
Major celebrities. Shout out to all the fans up there in Brisbane. I'll be up there this year, August 23. Probably the Brisbane game in August. It wasn't too good for us last year against them at the Gabba. Thankfully, the Gabba's getting knocked down, so that's all right. Probably the Brisbane game, August 23.
All right, thanks, Troy. That was much better. All right, Joel, go to you. Game you're looking forward to the most?
Manly at CommBank, round three. As I said earlier, and this is a bit more in depth now, I really think the start of the season is so crucial to us and see this is the mind frame we're in. If us fans can get a bit more excited about this year and believe a bit more, and the players are really switched on and know their roles and want to be there and win footy games. So I think Manly are going to be a lot stronger this year. Hopefully Turbo's fully fit as well. So we get to see one of the best in the game do his thing at CommBank Stadium. But yeah, I think that'll be a game that I'm looking forward to because I also got a little bit of inherited family that are Manly fans. That's always a good one there. Crucial game. I've gone the Raiders in round five at Canberra. Obviously, we don't have a very good record. So if we can get away to quite a decent start with a few wins early on, I think that is a game where we must win that. Canberra, we've already spoken about, should be a bit weaker this year. If there is a year that we go to Canberra and not just beat them, but put on a bit of a score, it should be this year. And the best away game, a bit of a, basically because it's my backyard, the Titans, round 19 at Cbus. I think Cbus is a very underrated footy ground, I think. I love going there and watching footy games. You're right there on the action. So really looking forward to watching the boys up here on the Gold Coast. And it should be quite a nice temperature by then as well.
I'll see you up there, Joel. I'll show you around, mate. I'll introduce you to a few people. Well,
I'm actually looking at going to that one as well. But Cbus is
maybe we could do an outside broadcast.
The only ground where the car park, you need to get a bus from the car park because it's that fucking far away. I'll go to you next, Hayden. Game you're most looking forward to, first of all?
Yeah, game I'm most looking forward to is actually one that I won't be at, but it's the one against the Warriors. You know, it's been, what, 6-7 years since you've played against the Warriors over there in New Zealand. You know, they were a very dominant, competitive side last season and, you know, look to build off that with the return of RTS. So, yeah, it's a massive, massive danger game, but I'm really looking forward to that one. Most crucial game, I mentioned that I think we get off to a bit of a start and then might enter a slump just before the bye. So I reckon it's round six against the Cowboys because I think the Cowboys are going to go a little bit better than they were last year. And, you know, even when they had some of their players out last season, we were able to get the win, but it was a very close game. So they always seem to turn up against us. Lucky we don't have to head to Townsville for that one. And then best away game, I think I'm really looking forward to Magic Round, you know, bit of vengeance for that 2019 one that I sat through against the Storm in round 11.
I cried at full time. It was that demoralising, that game. It was this.
Yeah, I yelled at the ref and said how embarrassing it was that the Parramatta fans weren't there. There was no one left. It was about 14
people. Oh, well, they're not real fans, are they, Hayden? They should stay right to the end.
No, and unfortunately, guys, you can't catch that vlog. It was terminated by the NRL for very good reason.
Hayden swore too much. I'll go through mine because, you know, it's my turn now. I'll ask myself.
Oh, okay, boss. Hang on. Let me ask you.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
No, it's all right.
What's the game you're looking forward to the most?
For years, guys. I can keep carrying it. Game I'm most looking forward to is, well, look, if it's at Allianz, I'm looking forward to the South Sydney game. I love big crowds and I love the fact that we're going to have so many big crowds early on. But what satisfies me more as a Parramatta fan is going to an away game and having massive numbers there. And it makes it not feel like an away game. We know how well the Blue and Gold Army can travel. So that game's at Allianz and both those teams are sitting in the top eight on a Saturday night at 7:35. There's really no excuses not to be there. I don't care if you've got a wedding on, an engagement party. I don't care if it's your 21st birthday.
Don't get married during football season. Don't have a birthday during football season.
Don't get married. Trust me, it doesn't end well. But 10th of January.
10th of January, that's today.
You've got 4.5 months to organise getting that game. Be prepared for us to have a good year. But look, 25th of May, I said that's the one I'm most looking forward to. Most crucial game, look, I think it's round one. There's obviously going to be a lot of hype around the round one game. And, you know, look, I know this might seem like a stupid thing to say, but you only get one chance to go 1-0. So it's where we want to be. It's where we want to be. The Bulldogs' hype's going to be huge. They're going to think they're going to do wonderful things because they've signed a centre who wants to be a fullback. And massive crowd, like I said, should easily be a sellout there.
Are you going to message Reed's mum again or before the game?
Oh, mate, Reed's mum comes to me. I'm under her skin. I live in her head rent-free 24-7. And, look, best away game, obviously taken away from that Allianz One, I'll be at Magic Round as well. And look, if I sit through, last year it was 7 games, I had to watch my team get beat. If I sit through 6 other games and watch my team get beat, I'll never go to another Magic Round again. But look, obviously Newcastle is obviously a pretty good one for me. I like that, but I also like the thought of the last two away games we have. Two of the last ones when we played the Roosters, Allianz, and Brisbane. Because if we're having a good year, the crowd will turn up and they'll be massive games, potentially be massive games. But Newcastle, what I want to do this year, guys, I've spoken to a couple of years about it, is through our various pages. I want to try and hype up, kind of like a Parramatta take everything, where we try and encourage as many Parramatta fans to get to an away game we can. Obviously, Allianz would be the simple one for a Sydney one. I know obviously the Bulldogs game happens naturally, but something like Newcastle where we can organise an event, take over a pub. I've already got a pub lined up. I've already spoken to a pub and happy to have us there and just be Parramatta fans allowed essentially and take over and try and get some massive numbers. So
it'd be great to see the fans out and about. It was pretty successful 2022 Club Paceway when we did it across the road from
it was massive.
So it was good to see everyone turn out there.
Something with a bit more notice. I don't think we'll get the club support. I don't think they like us very much, but something fans can organise and try and encourage as many people to get there as we can. Let's move on to the jersey. Look, I'm modelling the jersey. I will warn you, Macron, they don't know how to get their sizing right. So it's tight in some areas, as you can see. And I'm going to put it up like this.
Hey, it's just after Christmas anyway. So it's just after Christmas, New Year's. No number on the back?
No number on the back, mate.
The back doesn't look that nice. Not your back, just the jersey. The back of the jersey.
I'm pretty sure I trained back today, Hayden, but thanks. Look,
that's even more reason to play in the charity game, Adam. Comments like that.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it's like he said before. He said something before. I was thinking he won't be doing much talking then. But that's why he won't be at that game, because we're still trying to get over his broken jaw. But anyway, Joel, can I get your thoughts on the jersey? I know they're going to be great.
Well, talking about the club not being the massive fan of this podcast, they might want to mute in the next minute or so, because I don't know what they were thinking when they released these jerseys, but it's nothing short of a disgrace. We're called, and as Jess said on the League of Interest one, we're called the Blue and Gold Army. Where's gold? Where's it gone? Where has that colour of in our jerseys gone? Because we're losing our identity very, very quickly, I feel like, as a club. And we're trying to, I don't know, at the moment, I feel like we're trying to get away from our history in a way. And the history is some of our best jerseys. So I feel like we were starting to get it right when we started to mix it in with sort of that 80s style. And then we've just, for some reason, gone totally different. Like, I don't feel like there was a need for us to change our jerseys too much from, I think it was two, three years ago. And this one's just horrendous. Like, I hate the little patterns in it. I think it's like, honestly, it's, what's the point of all the little patterns? It's not an AI piece of shit. Like, seriously, like, I just don't like it one bit. And don't get me started on the away jersey. Like, we should have a gold jersey as our away jersey. That should be just the natural thing. And the fact it's still white, I hated it last year. It hasn't changed, so I don't like it again this year. My final part, and if people want to think it's a rant, this is the rant. I got the member stuff once again. Now, I don't need to get the member stuff. If I ever go to home games, I get free tickets and stuff, so I don't need to put money.
Maybe Joel's a celebrity.
I do so.
Joel's a celebrity as well.
I do so because I obviously passionate, love the club. But I got this bloody member shirt. I chose the member shirt thing.
Have you got pants on? Can you stand up?
Show us your back, Joel.
Well, that's a much better back.
That's all it is. Mate, it honestly looks like, and no offence to Best and Less, it looks like I've just gone to Best and Less, got a shirt, and it looks like a fake. It looks like a Bali fake. I know clubs are trying to do it there.
Before we continue, we'd like to obviously thank once again our sponsors, Best and Less and Tourism Bali, for coming on board. Continue, Joel.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the club introducing the shirt. I was really excited about having this option to choose from, not just the cap that's been horrendous for years now. But can we just put a bit more money into things? Like, how good would it be to be able to walk down the street, actually be wearing this sort of stuff with, like, pride and going, I'm a member this year, like, get on board with us. I am. Let's do it. instead, this
what
is
sort of a design would you like, Joel?
Well, hang on.
Just something before a bit Joel nicer. Like something with gold.
Something with gold or yellow.
Our club is obviously very good at making training shirts. I released one as a jersey. So why not just bring the training shirt or the club polo out and put member on the back of it or something? Like something a bit more proud to wear to games. No one's going to wear that to a game. And if you do wear it to a game, it honestly, you're going to look like cheap as all fuck.
And let's call a spade a spade. We all know the amount of money they put on jerseys and the like. It's not that expensive. Like, honestly, it wouldn't cost the club that much just to upgrade this shirt to something a little bit nicer that people would actually wear out, be proud of. I would be very, very shocked if there is many people wearing this shirt out and about throughout the year. It is just dog shit. I've got to be honest.
Did you wear it just for the rant, or will we not see it for the rest? We won't see it for the rest of the year?
No.
Yeah. All right. Hayden?
I pretty much agree with Joel to an extent about, the gold, the yellow needs to be there. There's not enough. You mentioned as well that it looks like, a training T-shirt, and it's not what you want to be wearing to a game. You want to be wearing something with, more gold, with the blue and gold, losing that element of the club. It's the first time in years that I've actually not wanted to buy a jersey. I think the last time I can remember it was with the Anzac one with the flowers. That comes to mind, but I think every year for me, around Christmas time, I get excited to try and get the club's new jersey, and I just haven't bothered this year, and I'm still wondering if I'll just wear, a 2023 home one or the old 2003 one, I think it is, or 2005 one that I've got that I like, because it's really disappointing that they've come out with this, as you said, Adam, as well. The sizing is different to what you'd expect as well. There's a bunch of different things wrong, and I think they've gone the right direction.
It's good around the arms. Look how tight it is around the arms. I can't complain about that. It's the tightness around the belly I'm not the biggest fan of, but I'll give you some positive, Hayden, in your hunt for what jersey wear 2024. And obviously hasn't been released yet, but I believe the club is releasing as the Retro Heritage jersey, a 2001 to 2003 remake, and I know how much you love that jersey. So let's just...
It better have the old logo on it, but better not have that new...
No, it won't have the old logo on it.
I can't do that. It's trademarked now, but let's just pray that you make it through that game on the 17th of February and you get to see that jersey. Troy?
Yeah, look, I'm not a massive fan of the home jersey either. I did a podcast about it a few months ago, and Parramatta is...
Before it came out, a month ago.
A bit longer than that, but anyway...
It wasn't a few months, it's five.
Okay.
He's back in fine form. Can we just give Troy a clap for all his efforts tonight, guys? You're at home, give him a clap as well.
Anyway, as I said, Parramatta is synonymous with stripes, so we've seen the 80s, you've got the stripes down the arms and across the midriff, and this one doesn't have full-bodied stripes on it, so a little bit disappointing on that. Right with the other guys as well. There's not enough gold in there. Look, it's different when you see a picture of it. It's different again when you see it in real life. It'll be different again probably when you see it on the field with the players as well. But being a jersey collector, I bought it anyway. I'll still probably be wearing it in 24. The away jersey, I believe it's the last year of the white jersey. So that one we won't be seeing, I don't think, in 2025. A little bit of NRL rules about that. So they don't want the clubs bringing out jerseys after jerseys after jerseys after jerseys. So you pick your home and away for 2-3 years, and then you can redesign them and bring out new ones. So I think the white one will be gone in 2025, and I do think it'll probably be a gold one in 2025. And I think, as Adam said, there is a...
Will be a good gold one or a shit gold one like this?
Well, see, I like it to go back to the old days of the 80s where you have your blue home one and then you just flip it for the away one. It's just easier like that. I mean, not a lot of teams... clash with gold, do they?
No, just the Gold Coast Titans. Sorry.
Sorry, who's shaking a little bell?
Is Sam? I was going to say that someone's fan is blaring, I think, and there's a bit of a noise coming from it.
So yeah, look, that heritage jersey will look pretty good. So Hayden will be excited, and that one will look pretty good. And look, just can't wait for the Indigenous and the Anzac jerseys as well to come out later on this year.
Yeah, they were nice last year. The Indigenous one.
I'm going to give my thoughts, and I've already given my thoughts on League of Inches. For those that obviously haven't listened to it, you're going to hear the same thing again.
When was that? A couple of months ago, or
no, just recently? Has it been released yet, Joel? Have you released it yet? No, you have.
Yeah. Sunday night, released Monday. So
yeah, look at that production. Oh. Look, what I want to say is, and it's a bit of a rant, but we've been calling out how much the last couple of years the club's lost, like Joel says, lost this identity, but also the people running our club, how much they've lost touch with the supporters of the club and the fan base. And this is just a fine example of it. You know, we want to be recognised, obviously, as a team and have a bit of heritage about us. Like, we all love the 86 replicas. There's obviously got to be a change to it, modernise up. I know you want to sell jerseys, but... Sorry, I'm just reading Graham's comments again. They've always got me. But the fact that we've released this jersey, like I said, this shows... I haven't seen one fan come out and say they like it. I have not seen one fan come out and say they like it.
But it's also true, though. Like, a lot of fans don't like change.
I need to hide the comments again.
A lot of fans, they like change as well. They like... You know, obviously what you're winning in, so you want to go back to 100%. That style.
Yeah, no, mate, 100%. If we win the comp, everyone will own one of these jerseys come round 25, 26. Well, I bought it because my son needed a new jersey and I want to get the same one as him, but...
God help us if we play in the grand final in the white jersey and we win that and then everyone will buy that one.
I don't mind that white jersey for a white jersey, to be honest. I've never complained about that white one. It's better than that white and yellow piece of shit we wore back in 2013 or whatever it was, so... moving on, because I'm getting distracted by the comments. We need to continue what we've got.
Turn them off. The
no, I can't. I'm a professional. The last time I hated a jersey this much was 2005. The 2005 jersey, when it came out, we thought, what the hell is this? Went and watched Parramatta play in round one. Did not even feel like I was watching Parramatta play. That year, obviously, went on winning my premiership before choking. So let's hope we can do similar without the choking part. Moving on from the jersey. I feel like we're going to be talking about it all night. I need to get back to our little...
agenda?
Yeah,
which gender are you, Troy? No, keep going.
Yeah, we can't talk about it. Hey, did you just assume he's gender, Hayden?
That's a players, no-no, Hayden.
Has anyone done any research and want to go through the new signings? Because I put it up to you and I haven't done anything.
I can remember a little bit. So I can remember that we've signed Kelma Talangi, who was previously with the West Tigers, bit of a young gun, went to Manly on, I think, a two-year deal, but has been early released and joins the Parramatta Eels. Departing players, I don't think we saw him. I think we did actually see him at some point in last season, Wonga Blake.
Who else did we sign, Hayden?
There we go. You're missing one.
You said Kelma.
Another one as well. It's a Manly one. Ah, Morgan Harper, the Dally M Player of the Year. Morgan Harper has joined the club.
Look, everyone bags Morgan Harper, don't they?
I didn't bag him. I just called him the Dally M Player of the Year, Troy, just like Luke Brooks.
All right, departing players. Obviously, Wong is gone. Davey's retired. Joel's mate's gone.
Joel will be disappointed.
I don't really know who else is going, to be honest.
I think that's it. Yeah. We had Saunders on the contract towards Raiders, but he's now back, isn't he? Yeah.
Jack Murchie's in the English Super League, Huddersfield, I think.
Yeah, Jack
Murchie. Very important question. Eliminate Joey Lussie from the conversation, because I feel like Joey Lussie's going to have a good year with a decent preseason under his belt. Joel, who are you blaming for the losses this year? You've lost your three go-to players. Who are you blaming? I want to hear it now.
I might be starting to go on to the coach, to be honest. He's got the year for me. This is a massive year for Brad Arthur. This isn't even in the talking points we've got, but I think this
is... Oh, yeah, this is not in the agenda. This is for another podcast, Joel.
It will be later. We'll get to that.
Another podcast.
Right. your player to watch for the year, Joel?
I have, for a different reason, I actually have Hayes Dunster, because he's come back from his injury. He obviously didn't set the house on fire. Before his injury, there was quite a lot of raps on him, and I was really looking forward to it. I thought he'd be our winger for years to come, but I'm quite worried he might become one of those stories of what could have been. And even though his form wasn't great last year, he sort of was, again, in that, looked like from an outsider's point, he was in that mind frame where footy was probably second or third on his list, and he just really didn't give a shit about what was going on at the club and how his performances were. So I'd like to see him come out. I don't think he'll start the season in first grade. I just want to see him try and push his spot, because that would only be a good thing for us. I think our backs were very weak last year, and we actually start to have some of these younger guys pushing their way in to get selections. I'm looking forward to seeing what Dunster can do.
Trey?
Well, look, I've actually got two. So I'll start off with
the only one. Players to watch?
Sorry?
Well, it could be honourable mention.
Well, you did say players to watch, didn't you?
Player to watch.
Okay, anyway. Well, I'll do an honourable mention. Honourable mention to Wiramu Greg. I think we saw him come into a bit of life, and especially when RCG and Junior weren't playing, he sort of stepped up a bit, and then he unfortunately got an injury, and I think he'll come back bigger and better. Brendan Hands, I think he, with his experience that he had last year, I think he's only going to grow from that, and I think we'll see a better season from him in 2024.
And Hayden?
Well, Troy's stolen what I was going to do. I was going to give an honourable mention to Wiramu Greg. We saw how good he was at the start of the year, had a bit of injury, but I'm really hoping it's not a, you know, one-year wonder kind of thing. He continued with that form, but it's still going to be questionable to see how he goes. But, you know, the player for me to watch is Dylan Brown. You know, he's coming off this drama-filled season last year. He contributes to, you know, try assists. He has a great running game in him. It's a big call, but I feel like at the end of the year, if Dylan Brown's there all year, he could be in the top 10 for the Daly M points. So he could be the player of the year for mine. I think he's in for a massive season this year, and I think he needs to lift as well, because I know that's the next question. So I've answered both.
You said Morgan Harper was going to be Daly M player of the year.
He is, but Dylan Brown is going to be in the top 10.
Oh, right, okay.
Look, Hayden, you took the words out of my mouth in regards to Dylan Brown. I think this is his season, and I don't want to say it's his make or break season, because there's someone else I think needs to lift, but it's the year we need to see the best of Dylan Brown. I've got some thoughts obviously around that later on, we'll get to, and obviously what could be the inclusion after about 10 rounds if we're not quite striking the way we should be and can bring Ethan Saunders into the team. But for me, Dylan is a player to watch, and I think we're going to see his best year of 42 date. It's about time he showed that maturity. And I guess the year he had last year and the way he still went out and played for New Zealand in those games for New Zealand just proves the level he needs to be this year. I'll go back to you, Hayden, again, just for your player that needs to lift.
He answered it already.
Well, I kind of answered it. I said, you know, Dylan Brown coming off that season, although his form has been pretty good over the years, I think he needs to take it to that next level. So I think that answers that player that needs to lift one.
Look, I'm going to go mine before Joel steals it. And we bagged him out last year. And look, I think this is his last year in the blue and gold if he doesn't lift. And the amount of money he's on, he needs to be bigger. It needs to be better. Needs to be fitter. And needs to care more. And that's Junior Paulo. I just wasn't happy with the year he had last year. I don't think any of us was as Parramatta fans. Look, I think he was feeling the fatigue. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think he played the most games of football of anyone the year before, obviously on that grand final run, Origin, then going on that run with Samara as well. So he needs to be better this year. I wouldn't mind seeing him. I know it's a lot of money, but it's something that Troy's been a big fan of until I posted the other day and he bagged me out for it. But it's not starting him and Reid and Campbell Gillard at the same time. Obviously, Wiramu's come on in leaps and bounds last year. He went from probably being one of my most hated players to one of my favourite players. And there's a chance to start a younger player. Obviously hasn't got the minutes in him that what Paulo and RCG have got. I think we can really use that to our advantage, because we'd be able to turn around and go a team that's constantly got, and we've seen them trying to do it before, but they've constantly got either Paulo or RCG on the field. So it'd just be an awesome way to do it. So, Troy?
I mean, you saw Melbourne last year had Big Nelson on the bench and come off the bench. So, I mean, there's no reason why Junior can't come off the bench.
Listen, sorry, hang on. Where have you been for the last 2 minutes that I spoke about your peanut? Anyway, continue, Troy.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
No, I'm talking about your brother in the comments.
Anyway. Right, okay, now, so, you guys have probably already talked about it, but, yeah, Dylan Brown, he's the player that needs to lift. We all know the dramas that he had last year. I think he said it, that he needs to owe the team for the time that he had off. I think Brad Arthur said that he said that he needs to owe the team. I think if Sean Lane's fit as well, I think those two can get back to that combination of 2022 as well. So, yeah, I think he's the player that needs to lift.
Joel?
Bill Brown has to lift. Obviously, you all know my thoughts last year and some of the things I came out and said. But, yeah, he obviously let the team down massively last year, so he just needs to come out, own the year and be there from start to finish and be the player we know he can, because at his best, he is, honestly, for mine, I think he's the best 5'8 in the comp when he's fully fit, playing all there. So if we've got that, perfect. My person to lift that isn't a player is Zeal's podcasting team, because that podcast needs to lift in 2020.
Hang on, that's not on the agenda. It was player to lift.
He could not help himself. All right, I'll go fly straight back to you, Joel. Your MVP of the year and your top try scorer.
Why don't we put an application in to become the Parramatta podcast?
Oh, they don't like us. That ain't happening. Go, Joel.
MVP of the year, I'm just going to go Gutho. I just think year in, year out, we underestimate just how much work and how good he is for us, and he just typifies what the club's about. If he's there, I'll feel like he'll be the MVP of the year. Top try scorer, I just can't go past, obviously, Sivo. I think he could have been in that player to lift for mine. I think he had a very, very quiet 2023. But I think, obviously, we love to go his side and the crowd gets into him. And, yeah, I just think Sivo will be the one crashing over.
Crashing over. Hayden?
MVP, I'm going to go Dylan Brown because I think he's going to be up there with the Dally M votes.
Dally M player of the year as well.
Trifecta there. No, with the votes, mate. I already told you who the Dally M player of the year is. He is also...
Hang on. So you're saying that Morgan Harper is going to get the Dally M player of the year in NRL but won't get the Parramatta most valuable player of the year?
Bit hard from the knock-on effect cup. Top try scorer, bit of an interesting one, but someone mentioned the combination as well. I actually think it could be Bailey Simonson, because I think if he's on that left edge and you've got that Dylan Brown, Sean Lane combination really working, and you know, you could say Sivo going out to the wing there, but there's been some trust issues on the wing with Sivo in recent years. So I think if Simonson gets some of that ball when, you know, Lane gets the breakaway and there's some space open on that left edge for Simonson, I'm going to go Bailey Simonson to be our top try scorer.
Yep, Troy.
Oh, look, Joel stole it from me, Gutho. I mean, as he said, we see what he does year in, year out, game after game. He's there, here, everywhere. So, you know, try-saving tackles, try-assists. But obviously Mitch Moses as well, he'll be right up there as well. Top try scorer, I agree with our established friend of the podcast, co-host of the podcast as well, who's not on here tonight, Matty Tate. Sean Russell, I think he'll get the top try scorer of the year.
All right, I'm going to chuck a different one out there. And I'm going to go the piece. By MVP, guys, is so we put this out here. It's Parramatta Awards Player of the Year. It's not anything to do with the Dally M. It's the Player of the Year at the end of the year. I'm going to go out there and say Hopgood will get it. I think last year was his first, obviously, full year in the NRL. He's just going to get better and better and more comfortable. He's probably going to have more of a license to do what he wants to do this year as well. And I think the halves are going to get in each other's way, obviously, this year. Not getting in each other's way, but I guess when you look at it, Moses probably dominated last year and the year before. Dylan obviously had an awesome year in 2022. But I think this year is going to be the year they actually combine and become some of the best halves. We see the potential to do it. So obviously with Gutho chiming in there as well, and not having an established big name hooker as well this year, I think obviously there's going to be a lot more pressure on those ones. So Hopgoodmeyer, MVP for the year. My top try scorer, look, you kind of always put it down it was going to be two wingers, but I'm not someone who likes to back favourites. So I'm going to back Junior. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to say Will Pennicini. I think this year needs to be, like Dylan Brown, it needs to be the year we establish and see the best of Will Pennicini. He showed glimmers of it for probably halfway through last year. I think he kind of felt the effects as well towards that the back
Dolphins
end.
Dolphins game.
Yeah, that Dolphins game. We thought, how good is this? He stood up. It's what we've been waiting for. But he just didn't produce it every week. Like I said, probably some fatigue, some hangover from the year before. I think this year needs to be the year if we see the best of Will. And I think that's
going
to be
looking huge as well. He looks massive.
Looking huge, yeah. And that's
another man crush.
There's going to be some pressure on him as well coming through. Some good young players coming through. Like obviously, the news come through today of his brother obviously doing his ACL, so he won't be putting any pressure on him. But is it Blaze Talangi coming through as well that, you know, touted to be a centre, 5'8", whatever he's going to be. So he obviously, I think they're going to play him in fullback in cup as well. So interesting to see where he comes and when he comes in the grade, what happens. But pretty much it.
Have we got a bold prediction of a season finish? Position finish?
Yeah, so we've got two. We've got two. I'm about to throw you a season finish.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to do, and I'm going to throw you straight on the bus here, Hayden, a headline of the year. Go. Season, you can do your season finish first.
When you say season finish, is that where we're
position
ranked on the ladder?
Yes. Yeah.
After 27 rounds.
I didn't want to do this because if people are watching and they're also subscribed to the page, I didn't want to do this.
Give us a mathematical equation.
All right. Let's just say
All your viewers are probably too dumb to work that out anyway. So.
All right. I've got us finishing somewhere between 6th and 10th. That's within that spot there.
Okay, well, the Tigers are finishing ninth. So, yeah, that's...
And the headline of the year, well, I guess it gives it away, is Parramatta stun, blah, 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 in home final. So, week one, home final. Not expecting...
So, position 9 and 10 are gone.
Is it our home final or their home final?
Our home final that we weren't expected to win.
Okay, so we're finishing 6, guys.
6.
Could be 5th, but he didn't say 5th.
No, he said 6 and 10. Yeah.
All right. Joy. Oh, look, you guys are going to laugh at this, but I did the NRL ladder predictor just before we came on.
The ladder predictor in January. All right.
Yeah. Just for a bit of fun. Everyone won games by 12 points, so all 8 games, 12 points. third, we're going to finish third this year, and what was your headline? I don't know. Holy Moses wins the Dally M, there you go.
All right, Joel.
I don't know. I can't think off the... That wasn't in the agenda, that question. That was thrown at us.
Go, John.
Just quickly, I want to just have a shout-out to the creating team at Parramatta, because one thing I did want to give them a rap for is the pre-season camp we got vision of. I think it was... What did it go for? Like 10 minutes or something? I actually thought that was class. That was a great watch.
It was a very short camp, 10 minutes.
For getting that together. I will say my finishing position for Para, I think it's 7th. I'd still have a bit of question marks around some of the things. I'm just not confident yet to say anything higher than that, and still got a bit of scars from last year. And my headline is Parramatta and Brad Arthur part ways. I think that might be the headline this year.
Okay. So obviously we're making a late run to the finals after he gets sacked. Yeah. All right.
What's your headline the week after?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I reckon he should be doing better than 7th. I think that's why the club will move him on.
Oh, okay.
I think he'll get to the point where they'll say we need to be a top 14 the last 2 years, failed to do so, and we just need a bit of a fresher approach.
So what
don't forget as well, Wayne Bennett is becoming available. So if maybe that's the guy we need for a quick 2 years, get us a premiership. See you later.
Is that your headline the week after?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go. Look, I think last year, obviously, the disappointment of last year had a lot to do with the hangover from the year before. I think this year, obviously, got some players coming in that their best years of their career, which is kind of scary to say, but you look at your Moses and your Guthos and your Brown stuff, they haven't quite hit their peak yet. And obviously, we've got some forwards there that I'm not saying their time's coming to an end, but they kind of need to step up. So I have us coming in the top four. That's all I'll say. I think.
So 1 to 4 for you?
I'm going to say second, but I've got us in the top four. I don't say it's getting a minor premiership. But I'm just going to say top four to hedge me bets. And just look at the last few years. Consistently, we've been around that, you know, sixth to obviously third spot there over the years. So it'd be nice to go one better and finish second. I've got two headlines for you. Okay. And I guess it's a bold prediction as well. But
early bold prediction.
We've been fairly lucky when it's come to injuries this year in the last few years.
Oh no!
It's got a really bad feeling. We're going to lose our fullback this year. We see the way he throws himself into tackles and throws himself into games. And I'm sorry, guys. I had this feeling last year when he got injured the last game here against Penrith. I thought he'd done his ACL. I thought he's going to miss next year as well. So.
Is that because Richard Pennacini did his today, Sam Kerr did hers the other day?
Year of ACLs. No, what that comes down to is young players obviously not building up the right muscles to the conditioning training of being a first.
Can't believe you said that. That's terrible.
I know, but it leads you to my headline. So headline one is Dylan Brown takes out Dally M at fullback of the year. And headline two is... Yeah, I know. Tom, sorry, Tom. But headline two is...
Gutho, Clive Churchill in the grand final.
Eels beat three in a row champions in prelim final. All right?
Funny you should say that, because on my ladder predictor, I actually had Eels versus Panthers in the prelim.
Oh, well, it's fucking guaranteed to happen. Sure, isn't it? 100%. Matt, around your comment...
Did we win by 12?
Yeah.
I feel like, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, including my own brother, but I feel like for us to fit in Ethan in the team, and he's going to be forcing it, for us to be a shot of keeping him, if he's going to be as good as what they reckon, we need to bring him into 5'8". Dylan Brown has all the potentials to be the best 5'8", sorry, the best fullback, one of the best fullbacks that this game has ever seen. I've criticised him before. I think obviously he's great defensively. It's a shame taking him out of that line, but Dylan Brown... I find him a bit selfish. Not a bit selfish, but his game management skills aren't quite what a first grade 5'8 needs to be. If Dylan was playing with someone that wasn't Mitchell Moses, and we see this as an example when Mitchell's out and Dylan has to control and team himself, he's not capable of it. You put Dylan at fullback, it takes away his decision-making. It gets him involved in the game to run the ball. Like we see the bloke have 18 carries a game. That's unusual for a 5'8 and run for over 130, 140 metres. You put him at fullback, you bring him into the game there. You bring in a much better last pass option with, obviously, we know Gutho can't make those good decisions. Like when he does those stupid little kicks or throws shit passes or holds on the ball too long, gets eaten by a winger. You put Dylan there and all of a sudden it's like having he who we can't name there, who was one of the best passing fullbacks ever. So you put Dylan at fullback. I've got Gutho out injured, but if not Gutho, the option there to go to the centres. We are going to get injured throughout the year, guys. It's just that will happen.
Well, at least if we have Gutho out for the year, at least we won't see the short dropouts.
No, that's someone else will learn how to do them. look, we'll probably go about 4 more minutes and wrap it up, guys. We'll go through some questions. There's been a shitload of questions come in, and I'm on a Mac, and I don't know how to use it, so I can't scroll up. Joel, are you going to bring any up?
I'll, keep talking. I'll quickly... find some, so
yeah.
Is it there? Was early on, there was people actually calling for Dill Brown to have that fullback shot, so
yeah, I know. I'm a man of the people,
coming out.
I'm a
man yeah.
Of the people. Oh, celebrity,
yeah. All right, what else have we got? Tom's, what do you lads think is the best suited for the main hooker role between Hands and Lussick? Look, I'll answer this one, and then I'll let someone else answer the next one. I cap this off in my own team. I think Lussick starts at 9, and the reason I do think that is I think Hands is a much better option at 14. Hands can come on and play 5'8", play 7, easily if need be, as Lussie, because he's an out-and-out hooker. So I think also think Hands provides a bit more of an impact off the bench, the kind of player he is. And I don't think we can – I know Joel is, but I don't think we can judge Lussie from last year. He came over from a reserve grade standard comp halfway through, hadn't done a full preseason, and a lot had changed since he was with Parramatta when he was previously with Parramatta. Anything else you want to bring up, Joel?
I don't agree with that. I think Brendan Hand should be the starting hooker, but anyway. You brought that shit jersey.
Yep, as Ann said earlier, had to buy the young fella once.
How much did it cost you, Adam?
Cheap as shit. What was it, about $73 or something?
That was for two, wasn't it?
No, that was for Marley. No, Parramatta Reels vouchers on top of your membership thing. It's great. Paul Quayle. Please, please put Gutho in the centres and Zach Cheney to fullback. Nope. I don't agree with that. Does anyone agree that Zach should be in the team, let alone at fullback?
Oh, look, he tries hard, but I don't know. We were saying that in the trials last year. He was one of our better players in the trials last year, but yeah, I just don't think he's going to cut first grade.
What was the comment you just had up there, Joel? We didn't touch on it.
It's for your brother. And I've got to be honest, I kind of agree with him. I wouldn't move Brown yet.
He has played
I think he's just about.
He has played that. He has played that position before.
What, fullback?
Yeah, Matty Tate said last year against Penrith.
He played it last year
when Gutho went off.
Yeah, I know. He's just he can't see the future. He's happy. He's happy. He's one of those players that's happy. One of those fans that's happy for us to lose Saunders to Canberra, and then turn around and go, oh, look what could have been when he takes Canberra to a comp and we're still sitting here wondering where our trophies are.
Is that realistically an option, though, like keeping Saunders, Sanders, whatever you want to call
it? It's not a done deal yet, apparently. There's been no announcement of it by Canberra, and they've obviously changed the rules. I don't know what the rules have changed to now, but that obviously that backflip kind of thing, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I know that Parramatta can still keep him. They've got an option to keep him through till November or something now, or maybe it's September, October or something, so... Yeah.
But, I mean, in a way, you can't blame him, though, because you got Dylan Brown's silly contract that's got options left, right and centre, so...
Oh, that's contract's becoming nothing, really. If player wants to leave, they can leave. So, all right, that'll do. That's all we've got time for. Look, we'll be back probably 4 week one, I'm guessing. Obviously, we'll cover off the trials unless someone does something stupid between now and then. Obviously, like the page, follow it. Trying to get a bit more content up. Joel's going to do a fair bit of that stuff and much of a hit. Let's hope that 2024 are a bit more positive because we were all negative jerks last year because we hated our football team.
Okay, see you later.
Peace out.
Go Para!